It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
I want a party. I want a samba.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog.
Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
That's right. That man right there, deep in the banks of Big Ten tournament action, Kobe yep. Slagle. Mm-hmm. How's your alma mater doing?
They lost to Wisconsin just a couple minutes ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well.
we'll get to you. And sitting in. Well, let's put it this way. In the intro, it's funny. We had Tracy Forner on last week, and... He talked about his child's obsession with that song that we used in the intro, but we have a guest that has not one but two guest intros.
Oh man.
You weren't ready.
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm not.
Not
every
at all.
Time, Kobe.
Wait a minute.
No, every time you're here. So,
we are Sex Bomb. 1, 2, 3, 4. We are Sex Bomb. 1, 2, 3, 4.
We are Sex Bomb, and we're here to make you think about and get sad and stuff.
We are Sex Bomb. We are here to make money and sell out and stuff.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Kim.
We are Sex Bomb, and we are here to watch Scott Pilgrim kick your teeth in. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Especially Matthew Soze. I'm going to be putting down my Xbox and my energy drinks to review a mature movie.
Gina Wagner from HauntedFlower.com is in studio.
It's still just as good as the first time I heard it.
Thank you.
I am so ready to sell out today.
And stuff.
And stuff.
And of course.
I am too. You pointed out my plain white t-shirt, some licensing on it.
Yes, Kobe could use some officially licensed apparel from HauntedFlower.com.
Wasn't that a band, the Plain White Tees?
That is.
Oh, they're still around.
Yes, they are still doing things.
How is Delilah?
I don't know, and I don't think anybody really cares anymore.
No, but husband Dan is sitting in the spouse chair. Hello, Dan.
Hi,
good
Dan.
To have you here.
We need a mic over there.
Oh my boy, that's you know what? We also need phone access in this building.
That's what. Yes,
in this
yes.
studio. So
let's
we'll
start
to...
there.
Or we could have him change seats. But he likes that chair.
That's also an idea.
However, we might be having some cameo appearances throughout the show from coworkers for different reasons.
That could be very exciting.
It will be very exciting. There could be a potential face-off, but we're not telling you why.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Face-off. Nicolas Cage style.
Can't wait. So, and while we're in the show, since I'm here and you're here, Gina...
Yeah.
I'll do the play plugs for this
Please
time.
Please do, because we've learned I can't read from a poster in front of my face.
I learned the last time. Go to the podcast and find, it was December. Listen to Gina host the show in December and her bringing in the hordes of theater fans from Indianapolis.
Look how well I plug other people.
No kidding. You, with Haunted Flower, flawless. Mm. But I'll take care of this. Tonight and tomorrow night, as well as the 16th and 17th, at Scottish Rite Cathedral, Neil Simon's Rumors. You can call 262-3100 for ticket information. Curtain goes up at 7:30. There's an additional 3 o'clock matinee on Saturday the 17th. It's Scottish Rite Cathedral, 650 North Meridian Street, and it's directed by yours truly, which is why I haven't been at many of the screenings the last few months. come on, mailing screeners. Come on, mailing screeners. So,
you didn't miss much.
Well, that's next. Well, that's next, because here's what's opening in theaters. And I'll go through the four titles, and then, Gina, I will ask you how many of these you've seen. There is the comedy Friends with Kids, which you can hear a review of on Fresh Air next here on HD2 The Point. John Carter, the thriller Silent House, and A Thousand Words with Eddie Murphy. Of those four films, how many have you seen?
I'm going to say 3.5, only because I saw the original film that Silent House is based on, the foreign film, the one that came out first. I saw that whole thing. This is the same movie, but put Elizabeth Olsen and the English language into it.
I see. So you.
So that's why I went and saw Eddie Murphy instead. Because I figured I've already seen that movie, because it looks shot for shot in the trailer.
I see. So you saw A Thousand Words, which, by the way, lost a bunch of publicity because Eddie Murphy didn't host the Oscars. So
I was thinking about that the whole time I watched the movie.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Did it need its help?
It could have used some assistance.
So, and honestly, now, since I have not been to the press screenings with the other doughy white men and Gina, mm-hmm. I had no idea this film existed. I had no clue that an Eddie Murphy film was coming out.
I did not know until yesterday.
Really?
Because I looked and I'm like, huh, what's coming out? Silent House and A Thousand Words. What are those? And then I looked them up.
And it's by DreamWorks, and it looks like Eddie Murphy trying to do his version of Liar Liar.
That's exactly what it is.
So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Eddie Murphy is a literary agent who...
Fast talking,
crazy face making literary agent. He has...
We gotta have more of those.
Yeah. He's got a wife and child. He's got a great house. Things seem to be going really good for him until one day, bum, 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 a magical tree grows in his yard.
No.
And every word he speaks, a leaf will fall off the tree. And when all the leaves are gone, he will die.
And the skies are gray. No, that's wrong lyric. Okay.
So naturally, if this were real life, a person in this situation with a magical tree might try to seclude themselves somewhere for a few days, sort this out, maybe not talk to anyone. But no, because it's a movie and we have to be entertained, he will try to continue his life by not talking to people and making faces and trying to engage in charades with them.
Wow, Eddie Murphy doing charades.
Yes.
Boy, where was this when Win, Lose, or Draw used to be on TV? He could have cleaned up.
Well, we learned he's not very good at it, especially when trying to place his coffee order at Starbucks.
Get it,
because he can't give up Starbucks even for one day. He still goes in there and makes with the hand signs.
Because there are no coffee makers in his palatial home.
No. So it gets really silly. There are a few situations, like we learn that anything that happens to the tree will also happen to him. Like if some squirrels run around the tree up and down the bark, he'll go suddenly break into a funky dance because it tickles him.
So it's a tree of his life.
Yeah. I think it was only established because his first instinct is, well, I'm going to take this tree out. And he learns anything he does the tree is going to hurt himself.
So it's a voodoo tree.
Kind of a voodoo tree.
Word, leaves that equal words.
Yep.
Okay.
He has kind of an over-the-top assistant. It's that kid from Hot Tub Time Machine and and Kick-Ass.
Ah, I see. Okay.
And, you know, that kid has its moments, but most of the time he's just throwing in awkward things that you're like, this probably looked better on the page and not out of his mouth.
Well, as I'm reading the non-Nouveau in the review, by the way, it's not a local review, it's a Wire review, but apparently, according to the Miami Herald, A Thousand Words was filmed in 2008.
You know, I'm really not surprised by that. It felt a little dated.
So, 3, possibly 4 years old on the shelf.
And they waited for him to host the Oscars.
That's what it says in the article. That's what it says in the review. Thank you, Renee Rodriguez. So,
well, he clearly has the look of a man who spent a lot of time voice acting for Shrek movies.
And how does... describe how that sort of man looks.
His faces are so big, he's forgotten how close the camera is.
So it's, yeah, oh, okay.
But what I will say about the movie is that as horrible as the trailer looks, it's better than I expected it to be because
it's better than the trailer.
Yes. There were some moments of real emotion where I really enjoyed the film. There are definitely some changes I would have made. But overall, if you're looking at a scale of 1 to 10, which I consider the change up at 1, because in a fountain is stupid, to Liar Liar, which was, in my opinion, the best version of magical thing has happened to me and I will change my life film.
Where's that section of the video store?
Yeah, they should be grouped together because it would make it easier.
Okay.
I would put this around a 7.
I see.
So it's not horrible. It was better than I expected.
Well, when I noticed that you have Kerry Washington, Allison Janney, and Ruby Dee as part of the cast, you're hoping that there's a little bit of credibility to it.
I was a little disappointed in Washington. She's her character.
Wife, right?
Yeah, her
the
character.
Wife, comedy wife. Nothing to do.
She does not spend a single frame on this film not arguing with her husband. And so then when he's not talking, she's like, we never talk anymore. It's like 2 days into this problem for him. She just. That's her straw.
Take note, Mr. Slagle. If you're having trouble being married to Kerry Washington, you're an idiot. So, do we have? I think we have Mr. Lloyd's response. I think that's fitting. It feels like it's fitting for what Gina just said.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
That would be accurate.
Okay, how's this compared to Murphy's? It's not like Norbit horrid.
No, I mean he's made some movies that are so bad I wouldn't wish them upon my worst enemy, but. This is probably one of the better ones as far as him being live action.
Wow.
But okay. I would watch a Shrek movie over it probably.
Even the fourth?
I don't know. By that point, there's so many darn kids in the picture.
At a kid's film.
Yeah. Okay. I'd rather watch the first one again.
All right. That's fair enough. So let's move on. Now we move on to John Carter.
Yes.
You did not see John Carter either?
I've been in rehearsal for Neil Simon's Rumors, which opens tonight. That's why you're here, among other things.
This is a movie that you should definitely see in theaters, okay. I think, if you're going to see it. And I saw it in 3D. I still don't care about all the bells and whistles of 3D. I mean, shouldn't it have been cool? There are, like, flying ships, and he's jumping everywhere like a superhero. Shouldn't that have looked cooler?
Is there enough time for them to be cool?
You know, they do enough of it in the movie. You could have been cool.
Kobe, pull up out of the file what I mean. So go on.
So we've got that Taylor Kitsch whatever guy. You know, he's Gambit and other stuff.
K-I-T-S-C-H. I believe it's Kitsch.
Yeah, I'm just going to add extra noises syllables. Because there's just too much going on in that last name.
I see.
He's a Civil War vet who gets magically teleported to Mars.
Really?
Yes. And
so it sounds like Flash Gordon with no music by Queen.
Dan says yes.
Really? And no Max von Sydow because he was too busy not talking in a film that got him a nomination. I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, and John Carter spends much of the first half of the film trying to convince everyone around him that he doesn't care about anything anymore because he's given up enough in wars. He doesn't want to get involved in their wars on Mars. He doesn't like causes anymore. But a beautiful princess on Mars is convinced that he really does care about their war. And eventually, because she makes enough eyes at him, he goes, maybe.
Does he have a boomstick?
No, but he has mad jumping skills. This is what I love most about this movie.
Mad jumping skills?
It turns out, which I thought this was great, if you teleport to Mars, you become a superhero because gravity is different there. So if you just try to start walking, you're going to jump.
So even somebody with my shape could be
yes,
high.
Yes, you'd be jumping all over the place and the princess would be all about you.
I could dunk.
Yes, you could. And it's interesting because that the princess is actress Lynn Collins, even though she doesn't spell it correctly. There's no E.
Also from the same Wolverine Origins movie.
Oh, I see.
Silver Fox.
Do you have what we were talking about? There's a question that we're dying to ask because it's based on a theory you had with another film.
Why can't I just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
Yeah,
is there enough time for them to be cool?
Yes, there is plenty of time for them to be cool. They spend a lot of time being cool, even when I don't care about the relationship between the guy and the girl because I don't buy it at all. There's plenty of time to be cool because there's fighting and you're flying around and you're jumping like crazy. And there's an awesome alien dog that is like super slow and then super fast. I love that dog and it's more interesting than the princess.
And it's in space, let's not forget.
It's in space! There are Tharks, which look like funky, tall, green aliens with horns coming out of their faces.
What are they?
Tharks.
Okay.
And they have their own language, and apparently one of them is Willem Dafoe, which I didn't realize until the end credits.
Oh, because of makeup and... Or
well, no, not
CG,
even makeup.
No?
They're not real.
Oh, they're not real.
He's acting to people that aren't there. Like, but we're going to believe it because it's a movie. Yeah.
Okay, I see.
We're going to believe it. I'll be there with you because you're on Mars, and Mars is a cool place to be.
Did you see Mission to Mars? Or a red planet?
No.
Okay.
I saw, I think, in an...
Well, maybe this will help revitalize the Mars film genre.
And
it was cooler in the 1800s.
It was cooler in the 1800s, Dan says.
It was.
Be cool.
Be
back
cool.
Then, in the day...
You know what it was, Kobe? The 1800s were a different,
time.
Well, that's because...
That is...
With the giant flashbulb pictures...
Well, yeah, back then you apparently had blue electricity powers that shoot out of your hand, too, if you're the person in power who's trying to take over Mars.
Oh.
Wow.
That's cool. You just zap everybody and then you win. That's
efficient.
Don't
tell that to the Civil War reenactors. They'll get angry.
They would lose.
I saw, I think, on trailer on TV of this, somebody was calling this like the Star Wars of the new of this generation
or
something or other.
What Toledo film critic said
that?
Yeah,
I was like,
Toledo Star.
No.
Why would anyone bother comparing anything to Star Wars anymore? It's too immortalized and it's on a level of its own in everyone's nostalgia.
And there's things being cool done by people.
You could compare it to Episodes 1, 2, and 3, maybe.
What, how is this? How is Taylor Kitsch's jumping compared to Jake Gyllenhaal's in Prince of Persia?
Well, it's better.
Better?
Much better.
Okay.
He has much higher jumping. Much more distance.
One might say he has ups.
Yeah, mad ups. And
I'm not allowed
you know
to
what?
Say that.
Surprisingly good accuracy for a guy who's only on the planet a couple of days. He picks it up
really
fast.
He has a good landing point.
Yeah,
he's like Carrie Strug.
At one point, he takes off from a space that's about maybe 2 feet. That's your running distance before you jump, and lands on a building that's like at least 10 stories high and many distance away of like this big when you're looking at the screen. It's really far.
Which is great on radio.
Yeah.
Thank you. We appreciate put your hands out about maybe a foot apart.
I realized about halfway through that sentence, I don't know distance.
That's okay. So are you recommending this?
I'm really confused with what you're trying to say here.
Okay, this is what I will tell you. The guy, not so good. The girl, not so good. The movie, very enjoyable.
Okay.
Really?
There we go.
I think, you know what? I think that was good. Very enjoyable.
Okay.
I think that's good.
All right, very good. So we move on to, you did see Friends with Kids?
I did.
Okay, now this is the one that's for the art house fans. Adam Scott and John Hamm, Kristen Wiig, Edward Burns, Megan Fox, among others. Maya Rudolph, who was interviewed on Fresh Air yesterday. And this is something that we've sort of had plot lines of before, sort of the friends who are going to, they're platonic friends, but then something involving birth comes into play and things get complicated. I know Madonna butchered the storyline, and then there was the weird Jason Bateman, Jennifer Aniston sperm movie, The Switch. Is this in the same ballpark as those?
No.
Friends with Kids? No.
No. It's actually probably the best version of that idea that
platonic
I've seen.
Platonic friends getting hooshacking up?
What I would actually compare this to would be closer to When Harry Met Sally. That type of friend relationship. They say anything to each other, even, you know, intimate things, details about their other relationships, and they have that type of friendship.
Okay.
And what happens is they look around at their friends. There's two other couples. You've got John Hamm and Kristen Wiig together again.
Ah, for you Bridesmaids fans.
Bridesmaids alums. And they are the couple who... They're the couple that will make little remarks about each other and drink too much at these social events and maybe eventually blow up into a fight.
Are they the ones with the kids?
Well, actually, both of the other couples have kids.
Oh, I see. Okay, because we heard a clip, and it's I wondered.
Yeah, and then the other couple is that Chris Dowd guy, the other bridesmaids one with Maya Rudolph, and they are the couple that they are so overwhelmed by having children that their house is a mess, and they're the screaming at each other couple. They have no idea what's going on. They're hosting a party, and they have nothing ready. Just the completely overwhelmed couple that can barely look at each other anymore.
Okay.
So then you have our main two friends who aren't in a romantic relationship with each other, but they see what's happened to their friends who are and say, wow, this is apparently what having kids does to you. You might have one of these two scenarios, which seem really overwhelming. So they come up with the brilliant idea after a night of drinking, you know, maybe it's better that you have kids with your friend and then maybe you pursue your romance later and keep it separate, because apparently when you have a kid with that person, you don't have the romance and your relationship fails. This is based on the evidence they are seeing with their friends.
Okay.
But, you know, as these things tend to happen, you know, everything's going fine at first. They have this baby and they both try to start dating other people.
It's complicated.
Well, yeah, because you've got Megan Fox shows up as a potential suitor.
As an ornament.
Yes. And she is the character that doesn't like children.
No.
Yep. And she
stares
just
at him with her dead eyes.
She stares at it with much distaste. I actually thought that they handled the kids thing very maturely in this film, because I think of films like The Change Up, my most hated movie of last year, where they treated kids like, oh my gosh, they are the bane of your existence, and they have explosive, crazy projectile diarrhea and all this nuts stuff. Okay, this movie has one scene where there is some poop that ends up everywhere. And they handled it the most mature I've seen in a long time. I mean, there's a lot of comedy in this film, but they didn't make it like this kid's a little beastie, crazy monster thing. This is a part of having kids. It's unpleasant, but I'm going to clean it up now.
I see.
I actually liked that take on it. I just felt it was dealt with really maturely. There were some really great emotional scenes. I love the discussions that they have. And there were some moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, this does remind me of the first time I saw When Harry Met Sally as far as the connection here. The one thing I didn't like, the lines when the movie ends. I will tell you those lines of dialogue during a break if you like.
We'll see. We will see. So, okay, so we got a response to that, sir.
Now that was a good movie.
Okay, so we got one good, one not hella bad, and one one is a lot of fun. So,
yeah, I think you should see either John Carter or Friends with Kids, depending on the mood you're in.
Or Neil Simon's Rumours of Scottish Rite.
Exactly.
Theater.
If you'd like to see the live action.
Right.
In person.
And it's a Neil Simon play not made into a movie. Sorry.
It's better than 3D.
Because it's actual people. Yes. The original 3D, which is what? Oh, right. It's just living.
Yeah,
okay.
Like every day.
And youth is wasted on people.
You know what? Sorry. I had some super serious 3D once at a play. I went and saw Les Mis, and they threw the newspaper at me, and I took it home.
I don't do that.
The French newspaper.
All that drama over toast.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll get to what is new on Blu-ray and DVD. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We'll be right back. Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Oh, it wasn't the one.
You didn't have the Wesley
it.
Willis
no,
version.
Blockbuster Video, what a difference.
Good save. I thought you got rid of the old one because we have the new one.
Yeah, no, I.
You know
I
what it is? We
it.
Need radio house cleaning.
Yes, we do.
Spring cleaning here.
Yes, yep.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. You found it, didn't you?
I was just thinking about radio
spring
cleaning.
Cleaning.
Like.
We all put bandanas over our head and dustpans and just clean out files.
What do you think of this response? You want to keep this or
How
no?
neat is that? That's pretty neat.
No? Okay, let's get rid of it. We haven't used it in like 3 months. No.
I like, yeah. You know, well, of course, I'm a terrible spring cleaner. We might need it. We might.
We could use that someday.
I might need this issue.
Don't
of
throw that out. I was going to eat that.
Honey, I was keeping this Rolling Stone issue from 1986 for a reason. It's a great write-up. It's not online. Anyway, msoci at WFYI.org, also on Facebook, and I got the blog, and I got Gina and Dan and Kobe, and Neil Simon's Rumors is happening.
Starting to sound like Bruce Weber there. And I got the blog, well,
unfortunately,
and I got the email.
Unfortunately,
all of the interwebs.
Unfortunately, Bruce Weber is out of work, but if Bruce Weber, now former head coach of the Illini, would like to come do voiceover work at WFYI, I would open the door for him. All I can say is just go to YouTube and type in Bruce Weber interviews. He's great. Fun guy. And, of course, you fans, longtime fans of Purdue basketball, you know him because he was an assistant under Coach Katie. Anyway, Rumors is happening tonight, tomorrow, the 16th and 17th at 7:30 p.m., a 3 p.m. matinee on the 17th. And, of course, hauntedflower.com.
Is everybody going to wear green on the 17th?
No, it's not that kind of.
You can buy green clothes at hauntedflower.com.
and how are the ladies on wheels?
Oh, we skate very fast. And we hit into each other with great velocity.
And when's the next time you do that?
It's going to be mid-April. It's going to be our home opener. So totally be pimping that out. It's going to be awesome.
So you're in spring training right now.
Oh, I don't think we ever had an off season, but yes, we're getting ramped up for that.
Okay, very good.
Are your earrings cupcakes?
They are.
Nice.
But you can't eat them. They're mine.
We had cupcakes earlier, so they were quite good.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, we like those.
I didn't get to eat any. I just wear them.
Mm. Yeah, don't eat your jewelry.
No, I won't. Okay. It'll hurt.
Okay, we have some new titles on DVD and Blu-ray, and I think we're gonna go through this one pretty quick, and I'm just going to ask simply, did you ever wind up watching Jack and Jill?
No, I actually gave it away on my Facebook page because I didn't want to watch it.
Okay, let's move on.
I saw some of it.
You did?
Saw some of it. When was this?
Now,
Tuesday?
Now I want it noted.
Did your eyes bleed?
Now, I want it noted. You thought I was going to make you watch this as part of our bet, and I am not a cruel individual. By the way, I'm sorry. Razzie-nominated film, Jack and Jill. But
it didn't win?
No, they haven't had them yet. Oh. They haven't had them, and which means we have to get our Razzie expert, Richard Propes,
yes,
in studio about that when it gets a little closer. So you saw that. Did somebody in your household rent it?
Yeah, she got it from a certain colored box at a fast food.
Did she hit
restaurant.
The wrong button?
No, what? No. She intended to get it, and the intent was, we both know this is stupid, so we're going to drink and watch it, and maybe it'll be funnier.
How many drinks did it take?
And how far did you get?
Maybe like half hour, 45 minutes in, and it's dumb. Yeah, it's dumb.
Did you stop it, or did she stop it?
Stopped it.
Oh, really?
She stopped it, yeah.
So you know,
it's dumb.
You know what this means? You get to pick the next one.
I by that token, I get to pick a whole bunch.
Boy, now you sound like Abdul. That's great. So, by the way, you still have a pile. Just saying.
I've I have a bunch of DVDs, but like two yet to watch.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah. So you got, boy, out of everybody in the studio, you got through 30 minutes of it.
There's not, it's...
See, what I remember saying when I saw this, it looked like a fake, one of the fake trailers that the Adam Sandler character has in Funny People.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
or something on Tracy Morgan's wall in 30 Rock.
30 Rock, yeah. Right. So, but yeah, pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's...
Horror awful.
Yes.
It's horrible and awful at the same time. Thank you, Shaq.
Yes.
Well, let's move on then. We'll move on to, let's see, The Immortals?
Yeah.
Which was directed, is funny because I think The Onion made a note of this, which you can pick up in newsstands everywhere next to Nuvo. But they made a point of saying that it kept being pushed as from the producers of 300 instead of from the director of The Cell. And The Fall.
Well, it has the 300 flavor.
Homoeroticism? No.
I'm just going to say this movie looks really cool because of the way it's shot. It has really cool costumes, amazing backdrops, and... And
Dumber Than a Bag of Hammers.
Why are they all so stupid?
but they do have great jumping powers.
No. You're supposed to have great shooting with an arrow, you know, powers. But first chance you get, maybe you lose your magic weapon. And that's kind of stupid. I mean, come on. I thought that's what the whole movie was about. How did you blow that?
Being stupid with your bow and arrow?
Yeah, really stupid. And Frida Pinto is an oracle. She loses her oracle powers like that so fast by doing something stupid. And so then she's useless except to look at the rest of the movie.
Which guys don't mind.
Well, we don't mind doing that. She's a pretty girl. But if you're an oracle, I'd like you to oracle a little bit longer to help me in my quest because it's Greek mythology. I've got stuff to do. It's going to be carved in stone later. Make it epic. Don't blow it.
We have a sequel to Gina's original response. That's great. Okay. This is a film which a lot of people in my generation, no, your childhood has not been raped if they remake your favorite movie from the 80s. And, of course, I know people online, a few friends of mine on Facebook, who are very upset that they've remade Footloose.
I did not see either Footloose, honestly. You're but not. I hear it's Richard Probst's favorite movie.
Now you're just being antagonistic.
No, he actually said this to me. I am not lying.
Are you saying that Richard Probst gave this a 4-star review?
He actually loves Footloose. I don't remember if he liked the new one, but he is a fan of Footloose.
I think we should revamp Richard's opening. Hey, you haven't heard Richard's opening yet, have you?
No.
Kobe, could you pull up Richard's opening,
Let's
please?
Let's pretend he's here.
Okay, here with the 50-gallon pump drum of Hater Aid.
I don't know if it's the
It should be a Probst intro.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be the full thing.
But
even with the see, now I can't find it. I can't find it.
You have too many buttons.
I know. See, that's what I've been saying. There's too much stuff. We
need
radio spring cleaning. Radio spring cleaning.
Maybe, should we do that after
that
the drive?
Yes.
We do it after the radio drive.
Okay, hang on. Let's see what this is. Is this
Oh, my God. I can't.
I feel like we spend
listen
half...
to Kobe. Look for audio clips
listen
on HD2 at 5:30.
Every time I'm here, we spend half the show looking for your clips.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Wow. Well,
why does
wow.
it feel that
oh,
way?
Holy cow.
Is that it? Did you find it?
Alive and kicking. Well, alive anyway.
I'll be kicking you with my jingle bells.
That's it. Kick the footless man.
You know, you walk into this stuff.
Oh,
you roll.
Oh, yes! Yes! Awesome!
Well, when a fella comes back from the dead, I find that an occasion to stand up, be counted.
It's not a film sociology
it's not
if I
hard.
Don't do a foot joke.
Well, I can see where it'd be difficult for a man of your stature to keep in touch with even half the people you know. Well, you know beautiful women, they encourage you one minute, cut the legs out from under you the next.
I'm not half the man I used to be.
Wow. Why is it that the guy in the wheelchair gets a film called The Sitter?
There we are.
Yeah, we're going to have to add on to that, apparently. Thank you, Gina. So let's move on now that we've...
Oh, that was such an epic show.
And by the way, the remake of Footloose, directed by Craig Brewer, who gave us Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan.
You say that as if you didn't like them.
Oh, I love both of them. So now if Julianne Hough just starred in Black Snake Moan 2, that would be something. We also have The Skin I Live In, which is Antonio Banderas being creepy plastic surgeon man.
I avoided it because it looked too creepy.
It looked too creepy. It was funny because I didn't see this. However, I found on DVD at my favorite half-price place, Eyes Without a Face, not a Billy Idol tune, but a French horror film from the late 50s about a similar concept of a mad doctor who kidnaps women and removes their faces so he can put it on his better half. And fairly creepy. Ooh. For French, late 50s French horror. So anyway, that's out. And then a film I actually got to see and liked called Like Crazy, which had Anton Yelchin, that's for you fans of Star Trek, Fright Night remake, and The Beaver, plays the guy who falls in love with a girl who's on her visa, and then she loses the visa, and even though they're overseas, the love remains, and there's strain, and Jennifer Lawrence is in it, Kobe, so you'll want to go rent it immediately. Mr. Hunger Games.
It's going to be awesome.
It will.
So, anyway. Wow, but back to this film. Oh, does anybody want to hear your review of Dreamhouse? Yes. So, but anyway, it's a mature relationship with two young people. So go check that out. Now, there are a bunch of old titles on Blu-ray. So the question is, would you buy these on Blu-ray? We start with Meet the Parents.
Is there anything new on the Blu-ray?
I'm going to say no on that one.
I don't like it when they put, like, you buy a DVD of something old or
a Blu-ray
or
something,
whatever. And
it's the same thing as the same features on the DVD,
or like
less.
Like it'll say like bonus features, and oh, cool, bonus stuff. I'm gonna watch some neat things, but then you open it up and it's like theatrical trailers, and I wanted more than that.
Thanks for the trailer. I'll just watch the movie.
Yeah. Right. So, okay, that sounds like a no. Monty Python and the Holy Grail. This we should check to see if it's.
They often put lots and lots of new things on there. I mean, there was lots of crazy new ones on the last special edition.
So look before you buy in that case, because I know and there's a number of titles. I know Universal is they can't talk about spring cleaning. They just open up the vault and throw anything on the Blu-ray, which is okay. To Catch a Thief, that's done by Paramount. That's a Hitchcock thriller that's not going to freak you out. Mr. Slagle. No, it's Grace Kelly, Cary Grant. He's a cat burglar. Don't you wish all burglars looked like Cary Grant?
Well, he burgles cats?
And he washes a buckle, too, smart aleck.
What about Anne Hathaway? She's going to be Catwoman.
I know.
But if I had my choice between Cary Grant and Anne Hathaway, I don't know.
That's awesome. All right. Also on Blu-ray, the 1978 Oscar-winning film The Deer Hunter. Excellent, depressing film from Michael Cimino with Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, Meryl Streep. And this is a film, I always remember it because the first 30 to 40 minutes of it is this huge wedding sequence. And when you have a wedding that big in scope, to use a phrase from my daughter, it isn't going to end good. Especially when it's a wedding and then the guys go, like John Savage, Robert De Niro, and Christopher Walken go to Vietnam and wind up in a POW camp, and then they come back and have to adjust to life as a civilian. So, but it's really, really well made, excellent film. But yeah, very depressing, and one of the most intense Russian roulette scenes ever filmed.
Oh yeah,
big time. Also on Blu-ray, The Blues Brothers, a film that made fat white people think they could play the blues and put on dark suits. Thanks.
Well, it's because they had sunglasses on
and hats.
Hats are cool.
But really cool cameos by Aretha Franklin, Ray Charles, James Brown, John Lee Hooker. Really cool band.
The guy that played saxophone for James Taylor.
Lots of Lulu dancing people.
Play for James Taylor?
I don't. Hang on.
You brought it up.
Google.
I'll keep going. Parenthood, the film, not the series. The Ron Howard family ensemble comedy with Steve Martin, Tom Hulce, Diane Wiest. Jason Robards. It was 1989.
I don't think I saw that.
No, it's good. It's yes, because you need this on Blu-ray, and I can't wait to hear from the kids' film correspondent that she's going to want it on Blu-ray, even though she doesn't have a Blu-ray player in her room. Plan 9 from Outer Space, the Ed Wood classic. Bela Lugosi died, and the wife's chiropractor got into the role. Anyway, a lot of fun. And for some reason, Mr. Slagle, if you're a fan of director Ben Affleck, or you just live in the greater New England area, the ultimate collector's edition of The Town.
Oh, I bet there's so many deleted scenes on that.
Maybe. It's like a Boston version of Heat, only not as good as Heat.
Lou Marini.
Yeah, Blue Tours. Lou.
Yeah.
You play with James Taylor?
Tours with James Taylor.
Boy, that's great.
Yeah.
He puts people to sleep. That's fantastic. Speaking of Ben Affleck, Reindeer Games is on Blu-ray for some reason.
I don't care.
I know you don't. Also, 54, which was supposed to be Mike Myers' version of Boogie Nights because it was him doing a dramatic role and nobody saw it. 9.5 weeks, not a first date film. Just telling everybody. Kobe, not a first date film. You could watch it because you've had more than one date.
I was going to say, he's not on the first date.
No, not at all. In fact, didn't I tell you in Fair Sweet Bianca to watch 9.5 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Zalman King's no longer with us. Maybe rest in peace. So.
Yeah.
Out of Africa, the film that The Color Purple hates, because that won Best Picture in 1985. Speaking of Eddie Murphy, The Nutty Professor, his version from the mid-90s, back before he was playing every character, pre-Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
We got that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Striptease, Demi Moore as a stripper, which sounds like a great idea in the mid-90s, except it's a terribly dull and not funny film at all, even with Ving Rhames and Burt Reynolds doing their best. Not really.
I think I'm quite confident I don't need that.
No, you don't need that. Man from Snowy River, Australian cowboy film. The original 1960 Little Shop of Horrors, which was...
Horrors.
That's a different movie.
Yeah.
But this was a film that was previously on Sammy Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to hang out with Sammy Terry so you can
make
fun of Twilight.
Maybe.
See, I told you.
I think we get along.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, we have a few more titles. The original Benji from 1974. A little dog movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yay for dog movies that aren't talking dogs.
No, he's not talking in this one. He does a film that my daughter owns on DVD, Aquamarine, because she's 10, and she saw this before Splash first, therefore I'm a bad parent. Despicable Me. There's also a Kevin Smith triple feature of Clerks, Chasing Amy, and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Well, those are definitely the highlights.
I'm not sure about Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Little
what?
Good, but not great. Not like
what?
Yeah, little.
The first movie Dan took me to see.
Didn't know that
ever.
Didn't know that. Doesn't change my opinion. Okay.
Imagine how shocked I was at the opening sequence when I was not used to hearing so much profanity.
Oh, so you're the one. Way to go.
Yeah, like the first week we met, he took me to that, and we watched South Park the movie. So he could appropriately, like, get me used to college.
Boy, I took my wife to South Park the movie when we were dating, too. Look how that turned out.
South Park the movie is pretty great.
Yes, it is.
So many great songs.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So. You can appreciate that. That's right. I'm sorry, no. Academy Award nominated. South Park.
See, that's a dying giraffe. Mwah.
Wow. Okay. What else is on Blu-ray? Let's. Oh yeah, two films starring Ed and directed by Ed Burns, and I still don't understand. He's on my list if I had a list.
Oh.
Like years ago. He's smug.
Who's this Ed Burns?
Ed Burns was in Saving Private Ryan, but his films. She's the One and Brothers McMullen, and I think he's in Friends with Kids. Anyway, he bugs me. And
oh, that guy.
Yes, that guy.
Okay.
And I thought of you, Gina, and I thought of Joe. Because there's it says direct to DVD, which I generally don't talk about, but it's Recoil, and apparently it's Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Danny Trejo.
Yes, I will say that in the same week I watched the Stone Cold Steve Austin straight to DVD movie and the Trish Stratus straight to DVD movie, and I'm sorry, Trish Stratus, you were wearing a Catholic schoolgirl's uniform and everything, but Stone Cold definitely won. His movie was way better.
And there you go.
This guy looks pretty smug. I can see why you wouldn't like him.
He is kind of, now that you say that, like, he is kind of smug. He's a romantic interest, and he acts like, oh, we should totally be together.
Because for a while, there was that moment where, you know, when Ed Burns looks at Ryan Reynolds and goes, man, dude, lighten up. So, all right, let's take a short break, and we have a cameo appearance and more silliness. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
And thank you, Tommy. Welcome back. I'm Matthew Sosi, hanging out with Gina Wagner and Dan Wagner and Kobe Slagle, and sitting in with us now, making a cameo appearance in the last third of the show, co-worker extraordinaire, birthday girl. Yeah. It is her birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. WFYI's resident MTV girl, Tracy Mitchell. Hello, dear.
Hello. Sir.
She lets me call
this is
her
the
that.
News department of Film Sociology.
That's right. She is the Erin Andrews
the official,
of Film Sociology. Don't go to a hotel. And I've had Tracy on before for several reasons, but she hit me with a piece of information that kind of shook me to my very Film Sociology core. And when I knew that Gina was also going to be on, I thought, oh, I have a radio publicity stunt going on right now. The first ever Film Sociology face-off. And this comes from, and I'll set it up, and then I'll let you ladies take it from here. If you're a longtime listener of Film Sociology, first off, thank you. But
we love you.
I have heard Gina refer to a certain actress who was the star of Sex and the City, and she appeared in New Year's Eve. And you had referred to her as Sarah Jessica Horseface.
That would be correct.
Okay. Well, and we have had Tracy on before, and she has brought up her frustration over actress Renee Zellweger, who she at one time called Mouseface.
Indeed.
That's correct.
Indeed.
Now,
but to find out.
She has, Tracy has graduated Ms. Zellweger to Ratface status. And why was this, if you remember? I remember, but I want to see if you can.
I don't know if I remember.
You were angry because she was married to John C. Reilly in Chicago.
That's exactly what it was. I was watching Chicago. I was talked into watching it once again.
And that just drove you.
It drove me bonkers because of my love for John C. Reilly.
I see. So.
And, you know, sometimes you have to be downgraded and or upgraded to rat status at that point.
I see. So we bring it up. Who has bigger disdain toward their source of disdain? Is it Gina and Sarah Jessica Parker or Tracy and Renee Zellweger? Ladies,
plead your case beginning with Gina.
Yeah.
Well, the point that I brought up earlier was that at least Renee Zellweger made a movie I liked. At one
which
point.
One?
And that film would be?
And that would be Bridget Jones's Diary.
Oh, for the love of God.
Academy Award nominated Bridget Jones's Diary.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to add that.
She looks less, I will give you this, she looks less rat face in that film due to the weight gain.
Yeah. She actually, she ate a few meals during that time.
A handful.
Yes. Which she immediately threw up, apparently.
She went on some lovely bulimic diet. I'm not sure what it was.
The views expressed on Film Sociology and WF do not reflect those of Film Sociology or WFYI Public Broadcasting. All rights reserved.
Well, definitely in Chicago, I could have broken her over my leg. You know, she's just a twig.
Itty snap. Bitty. Now, here's where my rebuttal comes in with the Sarah Jessica Parker. Mm-hmm. My love for her in All Things Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
That's almost 30 years ago.
No.
And I could still probably do the dance sequence from the opening. Let's just say that, folks.
And tell Helen Hunt to call me.
She's a beaut in that.
Yeah.
Matt and I were discussing certain segments of Sex and the City in which the right lighting was in place, and she looked lovely.
And for guys, I hate to bring this up, but there was the 1-2 punch of L.A. Story and Honeymoon in Vegas. But that's about 20 years ago.
Hot, tan, and, well, endowed.
Scantily clad.
But it's not just her appearance that bothers me so much as when she talks and is on screen in general. I just, every movie that she's in for me, I'm like, oh, she's on the screen again. Oh, go to someone else.
So you were like that during New Year's Eve, which is apparently is a haul to watch.
Oh, it was a journey. And not a good one.
It was a cruddy 80s band? Okay, sorry.
Don't stop believing.
Whatever. That's still the love theme from Monster. Let's not forget that. Now, Tracy, you also brought up a film recently that you were one of 9 people that actually saw, the Renee Zellweger thriller Case 29.
I think I saw a trailer.
which also was on the shelf for, I believe, 3 years, even though it had Bradley Cooper and Ian McShane in it.
Was Bradley Cooper worth watching? Because I'm the Bradley Cooper correspondent here.
Film sociology.
Not the Ryan Gosling one. I need to clear that up because a few weeks ago you made a grave mistake.
Oh, did I make that mistake?
I am not interested in Ryan Gosling or his Photoshop abs.
You don't think he's yummy?
No, I could care less.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's Mackenzie. I didn't mean to mistake. My faux pas. So anyway, so you saw Case 29. You were one of 9 people.
Is it Case 29 or Case 34? 39, isn't it? What the heck is that movie
Kobe.
Called?
How many cases are there?
I'm on it.
Okay.
But, yeah, one of the worst films I have ever seen in my lifetime.
Which I'm surprised you and the gals didn't go have dinner and go watch.
Case 29.
Case 29.
Okay, oh, wait a minute.
No.
Oh, you're
no.
In
Case 39. Case 39.
Can you
see there were at least 10 more cases, and you didn't pay any attention?
Apparently not, but nobody. No, that wasn't screened for the press.
2009, Case 39, Renee Zellweger. Ian McShane, well,
I got
Bradley Cooper,
I covered blah, 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 blah. I got that. Yeah. So
blah, 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 blah.
So bad thriller.
Oh, it was horrendous. No one should be put through that film. No one. No, just take it off Netflix for the love of God.
Did it make your eyes bleed?
Isn't that one of the sequences in the film?
It seems like it would be.
You know, Bradley Cooper does have some disgusting wasp bee action coming out of his eyes, so they really tear him apart. And you know, I appreciate your love for the Bradley Cooper, don't get me wrong, but dating the rat face, really?
Ooh.
Really? I mean, you come down a notch at that point.
I'm just gonna ignore that has ever happened.
You might want to rethink the correspondent on Bradley Cooper. I'm just saying.
Well, no, she's licensed and certified and everything. Oh, she's got a laminated card, you know.
It was on the radio. Once it's on the radio, it's already out there.
Yeah, all correspondents are officially, they're officially trained by the Film Sociology Institute. It's right next door to Film Sociology News.
What can I say? I'm a longtime fan since Alias.
Oh.
So, what you going to do?
Wedding Crashers? He was a jerk? Mm. Yep. Okay. Yeah, you respond verbally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's a dying giraffe?
Mwah.
Wow. And this is your birthday present from HG2, Tracy.
You know, I just couldn't walk away without stopping in and saying hello.
So, you know what? I think we're just going to maintain this as a draw, and I don't think anybody's... kind of like politics. I don't think anybody's opinion's really been swayed one way or another. I think if anything, that the hatred that you two have for these ladies has probably deepened even further now that you've discussed it among your peers. So.
I respect the horse face. I respect the position in which you stand.
And my hatred burns true. So...
Well, there we go. Okay. Tracy, thank you very much. I mean, you can hang out. I'm reading obits.
Yeah, we still got 6 minutes left. What you want to do?
I have obits.
Okay.
And then if we have time, we'll do...
Yeah, we still have time for you to be sad on your birthday.
We'll do our...
Let's get depressed. No, let's
and then
do
we'll do...
This.
We'll
let's
do
find
our,
out who died.
We'll do our new segment into the archive, cool. Hopefully, if we have time. But, you know, even though the artist has died, the work that they have made remains. So you should go check these out. These are the... Yes, these are the center of the video store picks, if there were any center video stores anymore. For instance, Ralph McQuarrie, the artist who helped bring Star Wars to life. If you checked out the cool drawings that he did as far as the look of Star Wars. He also did the original drawings for the mothership in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Jeez. He also did the spaceship for E.T. He did conceptual art for Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Trek IV, Batteries Not Included, Jurassic Park. He won an Oscar, shared one of the Academy Award winners for visual effects for Cocoon. So, and was a concept artist for the first three Star Wars films.
Thank you, Ralph. You led a fulfilling life.
That's quite good. So there's that.
Quite a resume.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on your life.
What in the hell are you playing?
It's an Obit music.
Play some Whitney Houston or something.
No, we did not play Whitney Houston here. Yeah. Bodyguard at Waiting to Exhale, Preacher's Wife. Let's move on. Jimmy Ellis, who was the singer of the Tramps, who's best known, of course, the Tramps were best known for the song Disco Inferno, which has been on everything from Kingpin to, of course, Saturday Night Fever. It's Claire de Lune. This is not Obit music.
It is Obit music.
Debussy is not always Obit music. Gosh. What else we got? Oh, Bruce Surtees, Oscar-nominated cinematographer, who received an Academy Award nomination for his work in Lenny, which I have. That's better. Slightly
it
better.
It would have been useful about 30 seconds
I know,
ago.
But, you know, but, timing's not everything here at Film Sociology.
He struggles just a little bit.
We all do. But received an Academy Award nomination for his work in Lenny, the Bob Fosse biopic on Lenny Bruce, Dustin Hoffman, and Valerie Perrine. Hoffman's great. Great film. Go check that out. But he's known for his cinematography work in several films of Clint Eastwood's. Play Misty for Me, High Plains Drifter, The Outlaw Josie Wales, Sudden Impact, Dirty Harry, Escape from Alcatraz, The Beguiled, Coogan's Bluff, Two Mules for Sister Sarah. He also worked with Don Siegel on John Wayne's last film, The Shootist. Other films, Night Moves, Bloom and Love, Lead Belly, which we should be talking about later this spring, hopefully, for Into the Archive, and the first Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
So you've seen
you
know these titles. So he was the cinematographer on that. So thank you. Thank you for your work on that.
Thank you for Beverly
Good
Hills Cop.
Good job.
Okay. Yes. Now we have a segment that I like to call Into the Archive because there are a number of studios
I'll burn it for like $5.
We got to put that on a sound thing. But you keep doing it, which is fine. But these are the movies that you can only order online through these different departments' archive series. And I do this because it was this actor's birthday on Monday, one of my all-time favorites, and I got to get him on Film Sociology. Fred the Hammer Williamson turned 74. And I talk about a film that was on Warner Brothers archives called Black Eye because he's a private eye and he's black. It's now from 1972, if I remember correctly. But he plays a private detective who there's a cane and there's a dead silent movie star and there's drugs involved and he's running around Venice and it's somebody's electronics is going off even though it's on the desk. I'm sorry, 1974. It's probably me. It is me.
Look at your papers.
Oh, great. Anyway, I'm not going to answer that. Not during the show. But it's kind of cool because I've interviewed Fred Williamson a couple of times, and he talked about early in his career, film career, he had to make himself a marketable commodity before he could start to produce and direct and write his own films. And this was one, well, he hadn't made himself the full commodity yet. It's a good B detective story, and I always like watching Fred, but it's directed by Jack Arnold, who died in 1992, best known for directing the original Creature of the Black from the Black Lagoon, The Incredible Shrinking Man, It Came from Outer Space. He also directed The Bunny Caper. He directed the Fred Williamson Western Boss, and there's another word that goes with it, but I cannot say it. Abdul Kim Shabazz cannot even say it. But it's called Boss. I own it. It's pretty cool. High School Confidential from the 50s, The Space Children, Monsters on Campus, Bachelor in Paradise, A Global Affair, The Lively Set, and many, many others. So anyway, Black Eye on Warner's archives. So go check that out. I think we have just enough time for some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Gina, where can people go for T-shirts with stuff on them?
Hauntedflower.com.
Yeah.
And when it gets a little closer to April, we should have you back on to preview the season.
Yes, you should. It'll be fun.
And I won't make you watch Kansas City Bomber.
You
don't know what that is.
It's too late.
Okay. Tracy, Mitchell, happy birthday.
Thank you, Mr. Socio. Always a pleasure.
Have a fun night. Don't watch any Renee movies.
Promise not to.
Dan, always a pleasure. Kobe, I'll see you next week. Rumor, Scottish Rite Cathedral, tonight, tomorrow night, next Friday, and Saturday. I'll see you Monday. 262-3100 for ticket information. 9th, 10th, 16th, and 17th, 7:30 p.m., 3 p.m. matinee on the 17th. Go see a good movie or some live theater. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. We go!